If you're hearing the sound of my voice, you're watching Don Talk here on Channel 180 Charters. Not Charter anymore, Spectrum Cable 180. This episode has been brought to you by Tony, Sarah, and... Wow, I am completely lost today.
It's a holiday weekend.
It is a holiday weekend.
Everybody's thinking about
that. Night, attorneys of law. Thanks for watching. This is, wow, I completely messed up the whole thing. You would think I'd know how to do that by now. Anyway, check us out on Roku, Shopify, iTunes, and Google Play. Today, our guest is Dr. Susie Dickerson from Coleman's Northside Animal Clinic. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. And we're going to talk a little bit about 4th of July and safety for your pets. Of course, you know, there's a lot that happens during 4th of July. People get out there and they start blowing stuff up, you know, like they always do. Reminds me of a little quote from a certain movie, you know, blowing up bullfrogs. But anyway.
Oh, no, we don't want to do that. Oh, God.
But anyway, Susie, tell us a little bit about your clinic real quick.
So we're at Northside Veterinary Hospital, which is located on St. Joseph across from the Highway 157 Walmart. Mm-hmm. We're a small animal clinic, so we mainly see dogs and cats, but we do see a few other strange animals that think that they're dogs and cats.
Oh, yeah.
Mainly just dogs and cats.
Like birds that bark and stuff?
No birds, but you know, the occasional goat that wears a tutu or a bunny.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
Oh,
you should have brought a goat in.
I know, we had it a little good.
But no, tell us, you know, with everything that's going on, you know, 4th of July, and of course we have COVID-19 going on, and the big slew of everything. Tell us a little bit about some safety that we can do for our pets. You know, I know loud booms are a real big issue with especially dogs and cats. But what other animals does that affect?
It can affect any animal. All the animals, their senses are much more sensitive to us. And if we are interested in the fireworks, the colors, the sound, we can even feel the vibrations of some of these things. The animals can feel that so much more than us, and nobody has warned them that it's 4th of July. They don't have a Facebook account that they can check and know that. So, you know, it's a surprise to them.
Yeah. And, you know, what are some of the things we can do to kind of mitigate that? You know, we don't have control of our neighbors most of the time. And, you know, of course, the city, they're having their big thing in the park. But if I live near that, what can I do to kind of help my pets stay focused and calm?
The number one thing is having, you know, a familiar and a secure environment. So now is not the time to take them, you know, to a family event that there might be, you know, unfamiliar people, places, other animals. You know, all those things make them nervous, and then adding the fireworks on top of it, you know, may just be too much. So doing like a practice run maybe the week before, you know, going somewhere like that would be good. Or if your pet's used to going to unfamiliar situations, then sure, you can do it. But making sure, you know, that they're on a leash or a harness, and making sure that if they're on a collar that it's not so loose that it'll slip over their head. And then also having proper identification on the collar. We see a lot of times that they have collars, but no information on them or incorrect information on the collar. So having a rabies tag is good. But having your own personal tag that has, you know, the owner's name and phone number is even better. And then, of course, you know, having a microchip is a great way to have a backup on that. Because even if they slip the collar, if they're picked up by animal control or they're turned into a vet's office, that's the first thing that we're going to check.
Yeah. And that goes right between the shoulder blades on the dogs?
It does. On dogs and cats. And then on horses, it's usually the left side of the neck.
Okay. So that way they kind of know where to look.
That's right.
Now, I know another thing, 4th of July is a big, you know, feast for everybody. Everybody's cooking out all kind of new foods and stuff.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what you should not or should be doing with your animals around all the cooking and the food and everything like that. What's the most important thing there?
Don't feed your pet anything that they're not used to already eating. And make sure that if you have guests that aren't around dogs and cats very commonly, that they know, don't feed your pet any of your scraps, because a lot of people think that that's just normal, especially for dogs. They're coming around,
so
you know, they're begging
give them a bone or
to give them a little bit of this or that. It's very common for us after holidays where people are getting together to see a spike in cases of vomiting, diarrhea, and pancreatitis. And a lot of times it's just because they've been giving something off the table. And then when people are finished with the parties, you know, cleaning out the refrigerator mm-hmm. and putting the leftovers out, animals will get into that. And so that's usually a no-no as well.
Well, I know once we had a medical emergency, a vet medical emergency. This was a long time ago. But yes, one of the guests gave the dog a bone and it got lodged in his throat. Mm. So don't give your dogs
bones.
None whatsoever, because that could really... So what if somebody, there is an accident, what can people do? Because it's probably at night, after hours. What can people do if they do have a medical emergency with their animal?
So the important thing is to have a local veterinarian and have that client-patient relationship established. And every veterinarian in town has their own instructions for after hours. For us, you know, we see our own emergencies. So if you call the clinic, you get directions about what to do after hours. Some clinics will have you call Coleman Regional and you'll be directed to the vet on call.
Okay.
There's also a 24-hour emergency clinic in Decatur, right off the Beltline behind Olive Garden, that's pretty good. It takes 20 minutes from our clinic to get there, so it's pretty reasonable.
Okay, well, that's good to know because, you know, it's late at night. What do you do, you know, if something like that happens?
That's true. Well, Dr. Susie, we're going to come right back to you. We got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. This episode has been brought to you by Knight & Knight Attorneys at Law. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to Don Talk. This episode has been brought to you by Knight & Knight Attorneys at Law. We're back here with Dr. Susie Dickerson from Northside Clinic here in Coleman. And we're going to talk a little bit about, car safety and overheating of animals. Because I'm telling you, dogs and cats, they're very susceptible to overheating.
Right. Their normal body temperature is higher than ours. They're usually around 101, mm-hmm. But normal temperature can go to 102.5. And so they're a lot easier to heat stroke than us. And they also don't have as many sweat glands as we do. So sweating is not a means that they can control their body temperature like we do. Mm-hmm. Actually, the way that they control their body temperature is usually through panting. And that's a really ineffective way to control your body temperature. So they can quickly get above 103. When their temperature gets above 106, that is definitely a heat stroke. And after 108, their chances of making it through that heat stroke are, you know, not good. And it can happen really quickly. Even in a car that the windows are down and no air's on, you know, the temperature can increase very quickly.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just don't know. Just a couple of weeks ago, there was a lady that her air conditioner died when she was in a conference on dog training, and her two dogs died in her car.
I've heard of things like that happening. So
just don't do it.
And plenty of water. Yes. I mean, especially for dogs and cats that are kept outside.
Yes, making sure they have appropriate shelter or shade, and thinking about it through different parts of the day, because as the sun moves, the shade will move. Mm-hmm. So what looks shady to you in the morning won't be that way in the afternoon when the sun, you know, is at its maximum peak. And then making sure that they have access to fresh, clean water that they can't tip over is big.
And also with horses, I mean, we're not just talking about small animals. Yes. They need all the adequate water and everything too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They need clean water. You know, sometimes the ponds, they get a little icky. So providing a clean water source that they can have, trees, shelters, horses can go up in stalls with fans on. They like that. Horses have a little bit more ability to sweat than dogs and cats.
Right.
So they are a little bit more hardy than your dogs and cats.
Okay, I have a question. We know it's very important to have the right, immunizations for your dogs and cats. And I know heartworms is a big thing that we need to be treating for in the summer.
Yes.
I've heard rumors, and there was a lot of talk about it, that you could catch coronavirus from your pets. And in some countries, they were actually giving their pets up into shelters because people had fears.
Right.
Do you know of any cases where we can catch the coronavirus, the COVID-19?
So actually, in the studies that have been done with that, we seem to be more of a risk factor for our pets getting it us than us getting it from them. If you think about how many cases globally we've had of people having it, a lot of these people had pets, but they were never sick. We do have about 25 cases that were confirmed positive in domestic animals that the people also had COVID-19. And so they've been really studying those situations. You know, at first they said they didn't think that dogs and cats could have it and they would be asymptomatic, and then that changed, you know, pretty quickly. So it's still an emerging disease that we're learning a lot about. There is testing available for domestic animals. It's not something that you could just come into the clinic and ask for. If you're corona positive, you would definitely need to let us know so we can take, you know, proper precautions.
Okay.
Which we are doing that anyway with appropriate social distancing and things like that anyway. But if you have that, then we need to take extra precaution with that.
Okay.
And we would have to get the state vet involved, and then they would agree to the testing on that. So, but there is testing available if you're positive and your pet comes down with respiratory symptoms.
So it would be respiratory symptoms is what it mainly
yes.
is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, talk a little bit about the other, like, immunizations and preventive care that it would be good for your pets.
So with dogs, across the board, we generally like for them to have, of course, a rabies vaccine that's required by law.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also do a combination of distemper, hepatitis, paroinfluenza, and parvo. And also, I think lepto is really important, and that's one that doesn't get talked about a lot. There's a lot of misinformation out there about it. Some people were scared to vaccinate for it previously, but the vaccines that are out there are very good and very effective, and that's something that people can get from their animals. So I think that that's a good thing to vaccinate for. And then kennel cough, you know, depending on your dog's situation.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, heartworm prevention. You know, where we're from in Mississippi, you know, if your dog is not on heartworm prevention, they would be heartworm positive. Coleman is not as bad, but
okay.
just in the 7 years that we've been here, we're seeing more and more cases every year. And what's sad to me is that is a preventable disease.
Right.
So having them on a monthly prevention prevents them from heartworms, which are spread by mosquitoes, which we have those almost year-round, so it's a good idea to stay on it year-round. But it's also a really economical way to deworm your pets for common intestinal parasites. So I think it's a win-win to do. And then for cats, of course, rabies, and then a feline leukemia vaccine if they're outside. And feline virals, rhinotracheitis, chlamydia, calici virus are important.
So it's just very important that you vaccinate your animals.
Yes,
so,
very important.
Very important.
And real quick, before we go, we're running short on time. Dr. Susie Dickerson. I keep wanting to call you Dr. Susie. It's Dr. Dickerson, right?
Well, Dr. Susie is usually what I get called because my husband is also Dr. Dickerson, so then that gets confusing.
I understand. Well, let's let people know how they can find you and how they can get a hold of you.
So we are located on St. Joseph Drive. We generally honor our appointment-based schedule, but we do see walk-ins Monday through Friday and then also on some Saturdays. Our clinic phone number is 256-734-5557. We also have a Facebook, and we have a very active Instagram page that's Northside Vet Coleman.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for everybody for tuning in today. This episode has been brought to you by Night and Night Attorneys at Law. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Y'all stay safe out there.